And the way that when we're thinking about funding advocacy and we're talking about sort of those due diligence processes to mitigate risk, we see this as sort of a very high reputational risk connected to giving in this space. And so to sort of like, how do you ensure that your grantee understands the rules and has capacity to comply with them? We really see this as an opportunity for private foundations to have a fulsome compliance program internally. We saw it as sort of starting with the education of your own internal staff and helping them understand the distinctions between private foundations and public charities, as, you know, when they're developing projects, often that gets confused as to, you know, what public charities are used to doing compared to what our funds can support. And then also having sort of internal support to have, you know, either oral check-ins with your advocacy partners or written sort of check-ins so that you have a better understanding of how the grant is, you know, how the grant funds are being used over the life of the grant, simply because, you know, in advocacy spaces, often what is initially believed will happen because of the political climate, because of what's happening on the ground, it changes so quickly. And giving your grantee sort of that space and flexibility while also being able to check in with them so that they're aware of those limitations is of highest importance in this type of giving. Also through those check-ins, we've learned how to provide sort of additional support, either through sort of the raising of hand for additional funds to be supportive of outside advisors to them, or even helping their sort of inside back of house by providing more internal sort of legal support so that they can have that, you know, one-on-one relationship to better understand their work. Kristen, have you thought through, or have you all had any conversations with your grantees as to like how to support them in this type of work?
Actually, for about a dozen years now, we've had a very robust legal technical assistance program for advocacy, and it started with the largest advocacy investment that the foundation had ever made, and we built in a big legal technical assistance budget into that program. And what was important for me is that piece was seen as highly strategic. It wasn't a compliance function, it was a strategic function. And it has proven to be more strategic than I ever would have imagined, I'll say, in the senses that we've learned a lot. And most importantly is that this was, that each grantee could get their own legal counsel through this fund, but there was also funds to provide trainings to grantees who are all in the same space, grappling with the same policies, had the same enemies in the space, if you will, and that they could build their capacity over time. So they went through 101, they went through advocacy 102, they went through 202, they're at like 404 now, I don't know what it is now. But it's really built the capacity of that field. You've seen the way those organizations have changed. And some of our learnings would be that while I wanted it to be a strategic function, we wanted it to be a strategic function, it was also a compliance function when we started, right? We knew we couldn't do this work without having this function in place. Over time, it became really clear that, in fact, many of our advocacy grantees were either spending lobbying dollars where they shouldn't have been spending lobbying dollars because they were so afraid of getting the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation mad at them. And actually, the research grantees were the ones most likely to go over the line because they said, we don't do advocacy. And they were talking to legislators all over the place. So there was if you'd asked me where the risk was, I would have gotten it completely wrong. And what we've been able to do over time is track what the changes have been. It's also been so important to really let grantees know all of the things that Susan talked about that they could do with non-lobbying dollars. Because lobbying dollars, even though the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation does lots of GOS and project grant or grants, they're still hard to find. And you don't want to spend them where you don't need them. I mean, I'll just tell one heartbreaking story of a grantee where somebody got the opportunity to testify in front of a state legislature on a core issue for this organization, and it was really a core moment. And they had a project grant that wasn't project grant rule or GOS, it was a research grant. And they didn't send the researcher who had all the expertise, because she was 100% funded by a private foundation grant. They sent the executive director with talking points. The executive director got trounced. the whole opportunity went away. And if they'd had legal counsel to say, you could get a technical assistance letter, you know, you could get a written invitation, it would have been an exception, a legislative exception, a code exception to the rules. And it would have been non-lobbying. And those were the kinds of stories that we saw over time. And so what's happened is that support has really built the field. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at new areas, I've been blessed to be able to take that learning and say to program officers who are thinking about new areas, if your efforts would be successful, what would this ecosystem, this policy ecosystem, look like in 5 to 10 years? Who would be there? What would they be able to do? And then you back up from that. Where can you use GOS? Because you just want these general operating support, sorry. Where can you use general operating support? Because you just want these organizations to exist in this space. Nothing will change unless these organizations are there. Then you go one step down and you say, okay, what campaigns or activities need to be in this space in order for this work to be successful? And that's where you use Project Grant Rule, maybe where organizations are multi-issue. It doesn't make sense to fund them through general operating support for this particular area, but you can give them Project Grant Rule. In our organization, we try to talk about Project Grant Rule as kind of being like general operating support for a project, because we're not earmarking it for any specific purpose. That also helps the program officers not to get too deep mm-hmm. and get themselves in trouble that way. So those are some of the things, but I think it's really the lawyer's role, while you're wearing that compliance hat, to really pull back and try to help people understand that the legal structures that you set up are not just about compliance, they're about how far you can go with these restricted dollars from a strategy perspective.